Well, Goldie needed it, Gorman needed it, and they both got it in the same game as the Cardinals walk it off. Coming up on B-Shafe Daily. What's going on, everyone, and welcome into this edition of B-Shafe Daily. Holy smokes, was that a big one for the St. Louis Cardinals on Monday night. Welcome into the show. It is now the early morning hours of Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024, as we're past midnight here in the Central Time Zone. I was at Busch Stadium on Monday night, writing the story for KMOV. Make sure to check it out, kmov.com/sports, firstalert4.com/sports technically now, but I think the KMOV web address will still redirect you there. But yeah, covered the Cardinal game, the big walk-off winner, as I think if you had two Cardinals that over the past week or so we have said, look, these are the guys that have got to get going. If they don't get going, the Cardinals won't get going. Those two names would have been Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Gorman. Well, tonight, both of them hit homers, and not just homers, but mammoth homers, 432 feet, 425 feet. The Cardinals pull it off after being down 3-0 in this game, which was started by Lance Lynn. They were being no-hit and perfect-gamed through the first four innings. It took until the bottom of the fifth before Nolan Arenado got the Cardinals their first base runner. I mean, things were looking bleak. We were writing the eulogy up in the press box. I was thinking, how long can this go on with this offense being like it is without something drastic happening? And I know the fan base, and I see the comments on YouTube and Twitter, and people say, look, hitting coach, what's he doing? What's this guy doing? What's Ollie Marmol doing? Somebody's got to pay for this. Even if it's just a sacrificial lamb, somebody might need to go just to shake it up. And like, that's not really the way professional baseball should work. There should be a rhyme or reason to any decision that you make as an organization. But I was sitting up there in the press box in the fifth inning going, yeah, I don't know, do anything. Because this cannot be sustained for a St. Louis Cardinals fan base that was already put through the ringer in 2023. Don't let this happen again. Well, it was on the verge of happening again tonight. And then the Cardinals turned it on, man. They figured it out. They found a way to grind out a tough win. Walk-off home run, Nolan Gorman, the first walk-off of his major league career. It could not have come at a better time for him. It could not have come at a better time for your St. Louis Cardinals. So we're going to talk about the game tonight and whether or not we think it could be a jump start to this Cardinal offense for the days to come. I understand don't get carried away from just one game, but man, if ever one game had the potential to show the signs of life that could indicate something more for this team moving forward, it's a game in which Goldie and Gorman go Yahtzee. Because these guys, I mean, it had been bleak. Paul Goldschmidt, no extra base hits, I don't believe, since March 28th. I know that was opening day, and that was the day that he homered for the first and only time on the season prior to tonight. But getting Paul Goldschmidt to go oppo taco, he goes backside, as Ollie Marmol put it after the game. I mean, that was just huge. No person over the course of human history has needed a thing as much as Paul Goldschmidt needed that thing tonight for the St. Louis Cardinals. Not to be dramatic, not to be hyperbolic in any way, shape, or form, but he needed it. He had to have it, and he got it. Cardinals got it. 5-3 winners over Arizona. Thank you guys for joining me on B-Shafe Daily. Hit the subscribe button in the lower right-hand corner of your screen if you're watching on YouTube, if you haven't subscribed to the channel before. We have put together daily Cardinals content every day of this godforsaken season. And you know what? 10-13, maybe it won't be so forsaken after all. We'll see. The Cardinals still have a ways to go. I know that. You know that. But regardless, I'll be along for the ride here on the YouTube channel, talking Cardinals all season long. Join me, why don't you, if you're a Cardinals fan and that sort of thing tickles your fancy. This is the place to be. By the way, and we're going to get into the game. I know people don't like it when I delay and I talk in circles, but this is something important. I've been teasing a little bit over the past few days, and now for the first time, you will see this in the link description of the video and of the podcast on Spotify. I have unveiled on Spotify the opportunity to become a paid subscriber. Yes, this will cost you a little bit of money, but what you would get if you're somebody who does not like ads on these podcasts, this would be maybe the route that you should go. Even if you're a normal YouTube listener, you may find downloading the Spotify app and listening to B-Shafe Daily on Spotify could be worth your while. because for $4.99 a month, you can become a paid subscriber on Spotify and you will be ad-free at that point. So no more advertisements for the B-Shafe Daily Podcast. If that's something you're interested in, check it out. I spell it out for you in the description of this video and in the description on Spotify. There's a link to do it all. It's pretty simple, I'm told, but I'm rolling that out now for the first time. So if you're interested, that is now an option for you. Now, you can probably hear it in my voice. I am still going through it. I don't know if this is allergies or what it is. If you've been like outside at all in the St. Louis area recently, the pollen is like a thing. We were at a restaurant the other day sitting on the outdoor patio, my wife and my son, and we had to literally use baby wipes to wipe off the table and chairs because of all the pollen. And maybe that's what's going on. Maybe that's why I've got the sore throat every morning and just the absolute voice that I have right now, which is a nightmare. But I think you might be willing to tough through it because for once we're talking a positive Cardinals game on B-Shafe Daily. So you may just deal with the voice and not even care because we're talking about good things about your team. Let's get into it, though. How about the night for Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Gorman? Cardinals didn't look very good to begin this game. Brandon Pfaadt had it going on. This really did feel, when you get into like the fifth inning or so, and even after Nolan Arenado got his hit to kick things off for the Cardinals at the bottom of the fifth, okay, no perfect game. You're not going to witness history tonight at Busch Stadium. Everybody gives the Bronx cheer when they get their first hit. Everybody was so excited. No history, but although there was a little bit of history in some form or fashion because, well, Paul Goldschmidt hadn't hit a home run in almost a month, and you got to see that. I tease. I did put that in my story for KMOV. Maybe a little harsh, but we're having fun with it. Look, Paul Goldschmidt had been going through it. His average for the season is still sub 200. His OPS is still only 566, but he goes 2-for-4. The big swing in the seventh inning ties the game. Credit to what the Cardinals were able to do in the sixth inning to set up that scenario in the first place. Credit to the Cardinal lineup for taking their walks, I guess. Brandon Pfaadt pitched really well tonight, but that was an inning where he did not have his best stuff. He started to fall off the pace, and I believe he walked him loaded. Yeah, it was Mason Wynn drew the walk. Michael Ciani batting in the nine hole and continuing to play center field. He also walked, and then Brendan Donovan was walked. First three batters to come to the plate in the inning all walk. You have the bases loaded, nobody out. Go ahead, run at the plate. If the Cardinals had not come through in that spot with at least something, I think there would have been a riot at Busch Stadium. And the Cardinals claim there were like 33,000 people there tonight. We know that wasn't really the case. It was decent compared to, I don't know, there was a day a week ago or so, I think the prior Monday home game, so I guess it would have been 2 weeks ago at this point, where they announced a crowd of whatever it was, and I thought, there's not even half that here. Tonight was a little bit better. Nice night at the ballpark. Got a little chilly toward the end, but pretty good weather out there. It'll continue to heat up here in St. Louis. But nevertheless, however many people were at the ballpark tonight, those would have been, that's the amount of people that's going to riot if the Cardinals walk the bases loaded and they don't come up with any runs down 3-0. Wilson Contreras fly out to shallow center, and you think, oh, here we go again. Wasn't deep enough to score the run. And then Lars Nupar. Lars Nupar comes through with the clutch hit, slaps it the other direction, and it's one of those things where it's not like it was the long drive of the game. He just took the pitch and hit it where it was pitched, up and away, drives it into the dirt toward the left side of the infield. Shortstop was playing a little more up the middle. Big hole. He found it. And my goodness, was Lars Nupar. If you saw him after he rounded first base and came back in toward his dugout, this dude was fired the F up. He was pumped. And he even said, you know, my emotions were just running high because of the situation. And once he saw that ball go through, he just went a little bit nuts. But he was doing the elbow, whatever the little celebration is that they do, facing back toward the dugout, just absolutely fired up. I was noticing, and I think it was Jeff Jones that pointed this out to me in the moment, that after the flyout from Contreras, we saw Ivan Herrera in full catcher's gear, like on the top step, basically on the warning track on the field during the early portion of this Nupar at bat. Trying to remember, I guess Nupar, it was first pitch that he got the hit, now that I watch this back. But Ivan Herrera was like standing there thinking, well, this, you know, that it's almost like, well, the double play's coming, so I'll get ready and be in full uniform to get out there and catch when the pitcher needs to go warm up. Like, I'm sure that's not what it was. The catcher, you know, his spot wasn't up too soon in the order, I guess. So why not have the gear on just in case? But it was just kind of a funny visual. But Lars Nootbaar there in the video that I'm watching back now as I describe it, gives the celebration, looks back into the dugout, tries to fire up the guys. Lars is a guy that has that capability, right? He's got such charisma, such energy. He was bringing it. They needed a hit like that, I think, in order to loosen up the guys and be able to do what Goldschmidt and Gorman did the rest of the way. If you don't come through in that spot, if that, let's say the shortstop is shaded a little further to the third base side of second than he was, and it's a 6-4-3 double play ball, I mean, I don't think the stuff that happens later ends up happening. Something about the momentum of that moment, I really think, changed the course of the game. And the Cardinals didn't tie it in that inning, but they were within striking distance. It was 3-2. And credit as well to the bullpen for keeping things right locked where they were after Lance Lynn gave up 3 runs in 5 innings. A little bit of a weird outing for Lynn. He gave up 7 hits, scattered a bunch of hits, had 3 walks as well. Again, this was one of those games where I've talked about him before. He's striking guys out, had 7 Ks, but he's just not super efficient and just not pounding the strike zone enough. 94 pitches, 54 strikes. So he threw 40 balls in this game. And he said afterwards, like, he did it to himself. It could have been more efficient, could have been a better outing. You know, you can feel good about limiting the damage the way that he did, but he said a couple of times, I did it to myself, and was just glad to see that the team was able to come from behind to get the win. But Lance Lynn's going to have games like this, and I do think it should be mentioned, if we're going to say, well, the Cardinals went out and got these innings eaters, right now Lance Lynn has not really been functioning as an innings eater so far this season. And I'm not sure if that's a concern yet. I'm not sure what to make of it. He's only had one game where he's gone deeper than 5 innings, where he's recorded an out in the 6th, and that was the game where he went 7 strong out of 5 starts to this point. So 5 innings meets the threshold to qualify for a win, had the Cardinals been ahead at that point, which they very much were not. They needed the late inning magic to get this one done. But I'm curious for the impressions from Cardinals fans on just the performance from Lance Lynn and kind of what you took from it. There can be some frustrating times with Lance Lynn when he's just barely missing the zone, and it's like all his fastballs, they tail in different directions, and sometimes it really does feel like it's a magnet to the very tip of the outside edge of the strike zone, where he's not getting those calls, and it might start out in the zone, and it'll dip out, it'll cut this way, it'll dive that way, depending on the fastball he's throwing, because he's got like 4 different fastballs that all do different things in terms of their movement. And I think tonight was just one of those games where the pitches were moving a little bit on him, and he wasn't able to kind of find the pinpoint nature of that command. But at the same time, to have another situation with the bases loaded and nobody out, and I think at that inning, he only gave up 1 run. You remember back against the Dodgers, he had that scenario in the first inning of that game, the first inning of his season, and he struck out the side, didn't allow any runs. Tonight, allowed 1 run to score in that situation, but all in all, was able to limit the damage to just 2 runs in that inning. He gave up a run and then loaded him up in the second inning. And then in the 5th, it was just a base runner gets on, a hit to left field that Burleson, I thought, could have maybe had a more direct route toward. Maybe it would have taken a diving play to catch it. And then, of course, if you attempt the dive and you miss it, you're ending up allowing a ball to go to the wall and probably a run to score right then and there. So Burley stops short, and then the next hitter drives one to Burleson's right down the left field line and ends up hopping over the wall for a ground rule double. But they were peppering Burley out there a little bit, and that allowed another run to score in the 5th. But all in all, for Lance Lynn, like, you'll take it. It's fine because of his ability to keep it close, to not allow anything to get out of hand. 5 innings and 3 runs, you'll take. The Cardinals' offense, it was incumbent upon them to figure out a way to do something after that. The offense came through, and the bullpen did as well. I mentioned it briefly, but let's run through it. Ryan Fernandez, he's looked really, really good. ERA down to 3.00 for him at this point. The Rule 5 pickup has acquitted himself nicely. A couple of strikeouts in a scoreless 6th inning tonight. That was necessary, as in the bottom of the 6th inning, you have the bases loaded walk situation, 3 walks to load him up for Lars Nootbaar, who comes through. Andrew Kittredge comes in. He gets an up-down where he throws the seventh and then gets the first out in the eighth. Jojo Romero. Again, this was one of those nights where it's very easy to overlook Ollie Marmol's bullpen management, but he nailed it, in my opinion, by being aggressive because he kind of had to be, and especially after... So Fernandez pitches the sixth, and look, that's a situation that, as Ollie Marmol has alluded to, they're going to continue to give Fernandez a little bit more leverage, a little bit more serious opportunity. Inch by inch, he's going to be exposed to those opportunities. And you're down 3-0, so it's not a game that's out of reach. You could have gone Nick Robertson in that spot, right? You could have said, let's just have the new guy go eat some innings. But they go Fernandez because you get an opportunity where you know pretty soon the top of the order is going to come up. We'll see what the bottom of the order can do in the bottom of the sixth inning. Lo and behold, they all draw walks. 8-9-1 draws walks, and then they find a way to score a couple of runs. And then it's very obviously an Andrew Kittredge spot where, sure, you're not tied, you're not ahead, but you're well within striking distance down 3-2. And he's basically been your best reliever. He's got an ERA of 1.00 after tonight. And he's able to get through the seventh. He's able to record an out in the eighth because of just the way that the lineup set up there. Get JoJo in there for the last couple of outs of the eighth inning. And then Ryan Helsley comes in for the ninth, and he gets the win because he comes into a tie game in the ninth where, sure, you can imagine, well, do you want to save your closer for extra innings? Maybe try to make sure you have your most dynamic arm out there for the Manfred man, the automatic base runner, if this thing goes extras. But Ollie said, look, we need to keep him there and go win it in the bottom half. So I think Ollie deserves some credit for the way he managed the bullpen. He did it aggressively tonight. It could have... Look, if those home runs don't come, this ends up looking like a game where you waste some of your top flight relievers in a 3-2 loss. But instead, the flow of the game was such that it made sense for the Cardinals to attack this one, especially coming off of four straight losses, especially coming off of the sweep against a division rival. This was one where you needed to set the tone back, and it didn't really matter how you did it. Not only do the Cardinals do it, though, they do it in a way that does matter. It very much matters that Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Gorman were able to get it going tonight. Now, here's what I will say about the specifics of the two home runs. And if you've seen the videos of them by now, I think you know what I'm going to say. These were meatballs, man. Like, the 92-mile-an-hour fastball to Goldie pounded it the other direction, backside, and all he mentioned after the game, that's what Goldie is doing when he's looking like himself at the plate. He's staying deep on the ball, allowing the ball to travel, and he can hit it for power the other way. So that's a really, really good sign. It was 92, and he couldn't have put it more middle-middle if he had ran into the clubhouse, came out with a batting tee, said, everybody, hold on a second, I got to set this up, set the tee on home plate, put it on there, and just asked Paul Goldschmidt, where would you like me to raise this tee? Is this a good height for you? Is this good? How about dead center of the strike zone? Will that work? Okay, good. So that happened. Like, it was a very poor pitch. Could not have been in a worse location for a 92-mile-an-hour pitch. However, how many times have we seen in recent weeks opposing pitchers make mistakes to Cardinal batters and not anything come of it? Just foul it back or swing and miss, swing through it. We've seen that from Goldschmidt specifically at times during this recent slump. So the fact that he launched it the exact way that you would expect Paul Goldschmidt to do, that's a good sign. And the same can be said for Nolan Gorman. He said he was going up there looking to do damage. That's what he was thinking. It was the first pitch he was going to see all night because he didn't start in this game. Ollie has been trying to figure out a way to produce runs with this lineup. I had mentioned in my last episode, if I recall correctly, that benching Gorman, whether it's a lefty, whether it's not a lefty, like tonight with Brandon Pfaadt, benching Nolan Gorman, to me, not a move that I like, because I think at the end of the day, at the end of this season, the Cardinals are either going to sink or swim on the strength of the Gormans and the Goldschmidts and the Arenados and the Wilson Contreras's. No, these guys are not cloned or duplicates. I was just doing a little trope by pluralizing all their names. I don't know why I did that. It's 1 a.m. Maybe that's why. But my point is this. They're going to need these guys to thrive. They're going to have to be themselves for the Cardinals to reach their potential as an offense. So the more days or even the more at-bats that Gorman is sitting on the bench instead of in that lineup, to me, the longer it might take for him to come around. That was my thought process. But it ended up working out because he centered himself. He came in to face a lefty reliever. He actually came in for defensive purposes in the eighth. But the at-bat for the first time tonight shows up in the ninth for Nolan Gorman. And Kyle Nelson, he may want that one back. 84-mile-per-hour slider in the wheelhouse for Nolan Gorman. It's kind of like the Miles Michaelis slider from the other day, except he's a righty and Nelson's a lefty. But this one just didn't do a whole lot, and Nolan Gorman knew what he needed to do with it. So he made a deposit 425 feet out to right field. I think Goldie's, what did I say, 432? Yeah, Paul Goldschmidt's was 432 feet the opposite way. That's vintage Paul Goldschmidt right there. Granted, on a pitch that there was really no excuse to do anything other than hit it a long, long way, but the fact that he did it, whereas in recent weeks he probably wouldn't have, I'm going to call that a good sign for the Cardinals and a good sign for Paul Goldschmidt. Same thing with Nolan Gorman. He said he was going up there looking to do damage. It's a left-on-left matchup. He had shown in 2023 at times the ability to handle those types of matchups and handle those matchups with power as the result. And that was exactly the case here. Didn't wait for anything. You love seeing him jump on the first pitch. At times, the Cardinals just need to do that. They need to go up there hunting for what they're looking for. And if the pitcher gives him a cookie in that first pitch, put your bib on and eat it. And that's what Nolan Gorman did. Home run. Cardinals win it. It was very funny. Up in the press box, I think I've talked about this before, the writers will occasionally do the yard call. You get 1 yard call per game, and you have to be correct on the specific pitch that you do it. So it's just a little bragging rights game up there. If it feels like a moment where somebody could homer, either team, you know, there are times where it's kind of funny where you go, yeah, I think the Cardinals might be giving one up here, and a little tongue-in-cheek, but I forgot to use my yard call tonight. Didn't give one. But as I'm sitting there next to Jeff Jones, we're just talking about the state of the game. And my gosh, our conversation in the fifth inning compared to our conversation after the game is drastically different. Because like I said off the top of the show tonight, it was kind of the tenor of how much longer can this go on? What are they going to, is there even anything they can do short of, you know, just kind of making a power move of a firing of a coach or just something to say, hey, like, this isn't acceptable, whether that's, like, going to actually solve the problem or not, just a move for the sake of a move. It felt like if that game goes 3-0 and you lose it, I'm not saying they would have done something, but it would have felt like when the fans and the YouTube folks comment, fire this guy, fire that guy, I wouldn't have been able to really say, oh, come on, you're being mean. I've been like, yeah, I don't know, maybe they will. I don't know. They probably wouldn't have. But that's not a world that we have to live in. But nevertheless, I'm talking about the yard call that wasn't, because as we're sitting up there, we're all thinking about our stories that we're writing and what's going on. And Jeff says, now if Gorman would get one, ... And I think I got the words out, yeah, that'd be something. And then the pitch was delivered, and then he hit it a long, long way. And I said, Jeff, that doesn't count. You didn't call yard. But it was just one of those moments where you could kind of sense it in the ballpark that maybe something special was about to happen. And it's like, maybe MLB is borrowing the script writers of the NFL for the time being, because we all know the NFL is scripted, of course. And maybe that's what was going on tonight at Busch Stadium. Because you get it from Goldie. That's the one guy that you would have circled and bold and italicized and said, if you could have a magic genie come down from wherever the magic genies live, come out of the bottle or whatever it is that they do, and you can grant the improvement offensively of one Cardinals player. I know, kind of a weird niche sort of genie to exist, but that's what he does. That's what this genie does, the one that we're talking about. So Goldie would have been that guy. And if the genie, for whatever reason, this niche Cardinals genie that only exists for the purposes of this podcast, if he would have existed to then grant a second wish of another Cardinal to turn it around offensively, I think Nolan Gorman would have been that answer. Because I understand that this guy's only 23 years old and that maybe it's not fair to heap mounds of pressure on him and say, as Nolan Gorman goes, the Cardinals can go. But as Paul Goldschmidt said, man, it's funny because you don't often get Paul Goldschmidt to smile, but after the game being asked about his teammate, what it was like to see Nolan Gorman get one, he just kind of flashes a smile. Goldie does. And it's just like, yeah, when that guy's going, he hits for power. Goldie's like, I'm just trying to get on base, start that ninth inning, see what we can do. He chops one to third and runs his ass off to make sure he beats it out for a single, which is how Goldie got his second hit of the night. But Gorman goes up there and says, I'm looking to do damage. And it was kind of bold that he said it, which is true. I love when a player's candid and says what he's thinking. But talking to Goldie, he goes, you know, Gorman was probably not, nobody goes up there thinking, let's hit a walk-off home run. He said Nolan was probably thinking, you know, get on base and just do my part. And then after the scrum kind of broke up, one of the writers told Goldie, no, what Gorman actually said is, I thought I was going to do damage. And Goldschmidt kind of laughed. And it's like, yeah, I guess different people have to think of different things. Because for Goldie, I really do think, especially right now where, you know, power has not been a huge part of his game. He's just trying to contribute. He's just trying to get on base and start a rally. Is probably not thinking, let me end it with one swing. Gorman, though, kind of fresh into the game, going to see the first pitch from a lefty, first pitch that he saw all night. What's he thinking? I'm going to go up there and do some damage. And boy, howdy, did he ever. But the reason I would have said that behind Goldie, Nolan Gorman was number two in terms of the guys that the Cardinals absolutely desperately need to get going. Well, this guy led the Cardinals in home runs last year. Again, I get it. He's 23 years old. You don't want to put undue pressure on a player to say that he's going to be the guy that needs to carry you. It feels natural to do that with Paul Goldschmidt because Paul Goldschmidt's been around the block and that's been his role for so very long on this team and on any of the teams that he's played on. But for it to be Nolan Gorman, it's like, is that really a fair characterization? I think it is. 27 home runs last year in 464 plate appearances. We got the storylines in the offseason of how he's put himself in better shape. He's changing the oil on his popcorn. He's doing all the right things to make sure the back is not as much of an issue as it had been. He had an 805 OPS and 27 home runs last year. There was all the reason in the world to believe that Nolan Gorman coming into this season, and he is age 23. It's his age 24 season. He'll turn 24 May 10th, so just a few weeks from now. Like, this was supposed to be a spot where Nolan Gorman, you could sort of mentally couch him into the middle of that lineup with the rest of the sluggers, Goldie, Arenado, think of Newt Barr taking a step forward as well, Wilson Contreras, and be a legitimate force in this lineup. And when he does that, when he's done it in the past, we've seen it, he has a rare capacity to carry a team. Nolan Gorman. And the thought would be, if he can just find some consistency in the results, and I'm not criticizing the approach or the process, because Ollie Marmol spoke very highly of Nolan Gorman tonight and the process that he's gone through and the consistency that he's brought to it. He said that's about the highest compliment you can pay to a guy is he's consistent. It's a word that we hear a lot from guys like Paul Goldschmidt. There's a reason for that. There's nothing phony about it when Paul Goldschmidt says, I'm trying to be consistent. And you should have heard Goldie, like, again, Paul Goldschmidt is the kind of guy that will talk more after a loss and fall on the sword and say interesting things and almost be too harsh on himself than he'll say after a win of all the right things to say about his teammate, glad to be able to contribute to a win. But I asked him about what's it like if you guys all have this consistent process that is really great and you continue to have positive thoughts and positive talk in the dugout. Gorman talked about the importance of having that positive talk and that reinforcement from each other to be able to drive this comeback that they had. I just asked Goldie about the proof of concept. Like, you had the positive talk and this is the same mindset you've had. That's great. But to be able to see it play out and actually reap the benefits of it, is that something that can get you guys going and sort of reinforce that having that mindset is in fact valuable, even if you don't get the result? And he brought up Sunday's game, 2-0. He said, we were saying the same things in that dugout. It just so happened that on Sunday, they didn't come up with the big hit. They didn't score any runs, but it doesn't change the process. And that's such a different thing for fans to think about, because outside fans and media is guilty of this as well. We just want to see the results. We care about what the results are. And the process behind it is kind of irrelevant if you're not a winning team and you're not getting the results. And I don't think that's an unfair way to characterize it, but I just bring this up to highlight the fact that in that clubhouse, especially a guy like Paul Goldschmidt who preaches consistency, the results are obviously what you're chasing, but they're not going to eschew the process because they didn't bring the results that they wanted on Sunday. That doesn't change anything. It may sound almost too ridiculous to be believed that a team can lose four in a row and can be just basically zero at the plate, but can still maintain that process and can still maintain positivity in the dugout and a genuine belief that, hey, you're in a close game, you're going to come back and make it happen. Right? Is some of that happy talk? Maybe sometimes, but it's a lot easier to believe after a night where it does go the direction that they wanted to see it go and they do get to reap the benefits of that process. So that's a moment where I do think, yeah, it matters to see the proof of concept for it. But as Goldie has talked about, when it comes to negative momentum and being on a losing skid and things not going well, you don't bring that to the ballpark the next day. The next day is a different day and you've got a job to do that day. The same thing is what he said tonight. After a great win like this, it's still the case that you have to come back the next day. It doesn't guarantee results or success beyond that. So I'm highlighting this because I do think it's something that Cardinals fans like to know what's going on, because I hear a lot of talk about people wanting accountability, people wanting all these things. Paul Goldschmidt's a leader in that clubhouse, and he's saying all the right things, but I think the reason that he's saying them is because it's genuinely how he approaches the game. So great to see him be able to get one tonight. Great to see Nolan Gorman be able to get one tonight. They could just as easily, Cardinals fans, they could go back there on Tuesday night, and with Steven Matz on the hill, they could give him no run support, and he could give up five, and they could lose it 5-0. And we're back to going, what the hell is going on with the offense? But for right now, enjoy this one for the hours that you can, Cardinals fans, because this was a fun one. According to Cardinals PR, this was their first walk-off since August 30th of 2023, when Tommy Edman hit a two-run home run last season on the 30th of August. So it's been a minute. It's their first of the season, obviously. Other notes here from the Cardinals public relations staff. The 110-mile-per-hour exit velo on Goldie's homer was his hardest hit ball of the year. To be able to do that to the opposite field is just remarkably impressive. So that's what we got for you tonight, Cardinals fans. They're 10-13. They snapped the four-game losing skid. I understand you're bummed because this is still a sub-500 team. I understand that some of the comments are going to be talking about how, oh, it's just one game, it doesn't really matter. Enjoy this one. Allow yourself as a Cardinals fan to enjoy this one. That would be my recommendation to you because, again, through five innings, this game felt like it was going to be more of the same. And this year's Cardinals team found a way to grind through that moment and ultimately figure out a way to turn this game into something more. So let me know in the comments section below what you thought, what you think about Goldie and Gorman busting out of it. Do you think it's a sign of things to come, or does this offense still worry you a bit, as they only did come through with one hit with runners in scoring position tonight? That was the base hit by Lars Nootbaar with the bases loaded. Again, they were getting perfect game through like 4 1/3 innings or whatever it was, four innings, until Arenado got his hit in the bottom of the fifth. So there are some elements that, yeah, I don't think this offense is fully clicking on all cylinders just yet, but these are the types of games that you have to find a way to win when your pitching staff, maybe Lance Lynn wasn't perfect, but gave up three runs. He got him through five, and then the bullpen, to do what they do to be able to keep it close, is incumbent upon the offense to do its part. And tonight, they all meshed together. The offense did exactly what was required of them, and they did it in a loud way, and they did it with the guys that need to be there at the end of the day if this season is going to mean anything for St. Louis. So let me know in the comments what you thought of it. And remember, in the comments section, or pardon me, in the description below this video and below the podcast on Spotify, I will post the link if you want to consider subscribing to the B-Shafe Daily feed on Spotify for going ad-free, because I do know some people just inundated by the ads and they can't stand it. I'm not even saying that it's super convenient for you as a listener, but for me to be able to make some money on it, there's got to be some various strategies to have this be part of my business and my career. So that's the newest one. If it's interesting to you, feel free to let me know. Send me a DM on Twitter if you have questions, at BSchaefer12, or you can just go ahead and comment below on YouTube and ask your questions there, and I'll try to answer them to the best of my ability. But I'll put that link out there for anyone that might think, $4.99 a month, get rid of ads on this guy's podcast that he does daily episodes. It'll probably pay for itself in no time. And there is also the option there on Spotify that I will sometimes release bonus episodes. I hate to do that because I almost want any episode I do release to be to the public. But there will be some times I'll think of some strategies to use that where you will be incentivized too with some bonus content to get you through. Not that the YouTube channel hasn't been freaking loaded with content for the last almost month. I'm excited to see like what the numbers will be for the month of April with how hard we've been going since opening day out in LA. But that's what's going on. Thank you guys so much for being supporters of my work. Make sure you do go to KMOV.com/sports and read my article as well. Keep the bosses over there at Channel 4 happy as they're allowing me to cover the team and getting a lot of the access that I do. So appreciate you guys as always for all the support. We'll talk to you next time on Be Shafe Daily. Peace.